was a cartoon I saw some years ago. Showed a couple of boys sitting under a tree. One boy has his Bible open and he's reading about story of call of Moses. And he looks in his Bible and says, "And a voice came to Moses from above." And he looks at his friend and he says, "Have you ever heard a voice from above?" The little boy thinks for a minute, and then in the little thought bubble is over his head, it says, "Oh yes, attention, Kmart shoppers." How many of us have heard voices from above that may be other than a loudspeaker in a store? We profess faith that God still speaks. We talk about God revealing himself. But how well do we do at listening for the voice of God and knowing that God still speaks to us? Dallas Willard died several years ago. He was a professor who wrote much about the spiritual life, spiritual disciplines, learning to be quiet and listening for God's voice. And he said for him a transformational moment came when he was a young adult sitting at a family gathering, reflecting on the family's experience in church. The pastor that day had been talking about a building campaign, a new sanctuary, things that were going to be happening in the life of the church and the excitement about what new things God was going to do. The pastor spoke of his vision for God's ministry and then made it very clear that God, speaking boldly, God had spoken to him about the things that should be done. As they were reflecting on the pastor's words, his confidence that God had spoken to him, Willard's grandmother, one who was deeply respected for her faith, her prayer life, looked at the family and said, "I wonder why God never speaks to me like that." The family all looked at this saint of the family, the matriarch of the family who was known for her prayer life, who was saying, "Why doesn't God ever speak to me that clearly?" Many of us understand the statement of that grandmother. How many of you have heard God speak to you? Now, probably you're hesitant to say, because if we walk even into church and say, "God spoke to me this morning," somebody's going to look at you funny. There have been folks out there saying, "God told me to do some things," that didn't sound a whole lot like things God would have told anyone to do. And in a church setting like ours, most of us are not all that comfortable using language like, "Well, guess what God told me when I read the Bible today." Some of it's language, but some of it grows from our struggle at times to understand and know what God's saying, our struggle as people in a busy world learning to hear God's voice and feeling comfortable knowing how to talk about it. In what ways have you heard God speak to you, or have you? It may not be a burning bush. It may not be a thunderbolt. But does God reveal himself to you? Does God show God's self to you? How do we learn to listen? How do we learn to pay attention to God's still small voice? There was the same struggle in Samuel's day. The writer of 1 Samuel tells us the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. In chapter 2, we're told that the sons of Eli, the priest, were real scoundrels, that things were not being done in the right way in the worship of God. Those serving God were not listening to God, weren't close to God. And though Samuel had been dedicated, as Amy pointed out, by her mother to God, by this point Samuel, a boy, still had not heard from God, didn't have a relationship with God himself. But in this familiar passage, we see God calling out to Samuel. Now, our in seminary, I took a Hebrew class, and I don't remember much of it. But we got to our final exam, and we knew we were going to have a passage to translate into English. And I sat down, and I looked at that exam, and it was a lengthy section we were going to translate. And I thought, okay, this is going to be hard. And then as I started working on it for this exam, I realized it was this passage. And that made me feel a whole lot better because I knew there was a lot of repetition in this passage. And that was going to make a long passage easier to translate because the same thing kept happening over and over again. We see God repeatedly calling out to Samuel. And Samuel's trying to make sense out of what this voice means, who it's coming from. In the old movie, The Taxi Driver, Robert De Niro's character is a psychopath and at one point is seen in the mirror practicing over and over again the line, "Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?" Somewhere in Samuel's mind, he's wondering, who's talking to him? And he goes to Eli, "Are you talking to me? Are you calling me? Why do you keep waking me up?" Eli doesn't understand initially. But by the third time this happens, Eli, for all the problems in his family, for all the failures in his own life, realizes it must be God. And he says to this boy, "Go back, and if this happens again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel did as Eli instructed. God came to him yet again. He says, "Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant hears." And it's important to look at the Hebrew here, and when he says your servant is listening or your servant is hearing, the language means not only do I hear what you're saying, but I hear and I'm ready to do whatever it is you're calling me to. The response of Samuel is not only I hear you, but I'm ready to follow. There's an inherent understanding of commitment and a willingness to do whatever the voice of God says. Now, I suspect we all understand there is a difference between hearing and listening. We can hear something without really listening to it. Two men were talking over coffee one day, and one man says, "I'm concerned about my wife. She's talking to herself a lot these days." The other smiles and says, "Oh, my wife does too. She just doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening." No elbowing of your spouses at the moment. There are a lot of things in our world that we may hear without really listening. And at the heart of Samuel's response is a commitment to listen and to hear. I've talked to a number of folks through the years who have decided it was time to try hearing aids. And they try them, and one of the first experiences they have is when they're in a group, a restaurant. The hearing aid makes every noise louder, and it's hard to distinguish the one voice you want to hear amidst all the noises that are being amplified. And it takes practice to learn not only to hear everything, but to listen to the voice that you want to listen to. When we get right down to it, we understand that listening, absorbing, takes commitment. It takes work. It takes a desire to pay attention. How many times have you been in a conversation with someone and you realize that person's been talking for several minutes and you don't know any of what was just said? To listen requires paying attention. Hearing not only so that I know what to say next, but hearing and listening to what the other person is saying and working to understand. Jesus understood that. He talked in parables at the end of several parables, he said, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Listen, pay attention. It's not enough just to know what Jesus said, but pay attention to the message of the parables. And I think these days, with all the noise, with all the distractions, with all the things out there that pull our focus, maybe the challenge of learning to listen is harder than ever. How many of us, whenever we're home, there's a TV on, a news on, a radio on. We're in the car, something is there to fill the quiet. We have a moment to sit down and we're looking at our phones, catching up with this or that. And our attention is always pulled in multiple directions, struggling to figure out how to be quiet and leave space for God to speak to us. An old Calvin and Hobbes comic strip shows Calvin and his tiger friend out walking in the woods, and Calvin says, "Almost everywhere you go, you can hear people, radios, and all kinds of engines. When you're actually confronted with the stillness of nature, it's kind of startling." Hobbes says, "Why, you can even hear yourself think." To which Calvin responds, "This is making me nervous. Let's go in." How many of us are comfortable with quiet? How many of us are good at listening? And yet, in a world where so much information bombards us, where so much is available, where in our smartphones we have access to a world full of information and an ability to stay connected and a struggle to disconnect, how comfortable are we setting aside all that grabs our attention and being still in God's presence? Remember, Jesus himself, God in the flesh, made time to go off and be by himself to pray. His example reminds us of how important it is to disconnect, to turn off noise, to be quiet in the presence of God and learn to listen. Barbara Brown Taylor said a few years back, "It's more and more difficult for us to choose silence when communication is possible. To let the telephone ring, to leave the email unread, to leave the text unchecked, these amount to acts of social sabotage. To choose silence even for an hour, we must risk the loss of connection with other people who may have a hard time understanding how anything could be more important to us than responding to them." Pressure is on us to be connected, to be learning, to be soaking in information. But I'm convinced that part of the discipline we've got to learn to develop in our Christian lives is the commitment to learn to be quiet and to listen. To make space in our day, to come before God, to voice our prayers, but also to listen. How much of our prayer time is us talking versus being quiet? And it's not easy to learn to be quiet, because if you're like me, you try to pray, you try to be quiet, and what happens? Your mind is all over the place. But this is a discipline we've got to learn to develop. It's not going to come easily. And maybe some of those times when we're sitting in silence, we take this phrase from Samuel, and when our mind starts to wander in our silence, we simply come back and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And it may be that we repeat that phrase every so often just to bring our mind back and pray that God will help us learn to listen. One of the things that I sometimes do is what has been called at times through history the Jesus Prayer. Sometimes when I'm trying to learn, make space to listen to God and my mind is all over the place, there's a breath prayer that's been used by believers through the centuries. And it goes with your breathing. And as you breathe in, you think to yourself, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And as you breathe out, simply pray, have mercy on me, a sinner. And sometimes that's the beginning of my praying is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we can use phrases like that, or the voice spoken by Samuel, or maybe even the phrase at the end of Psalm 46, simply a reminder, be still and know that I am God. To have some little phrases that help bring our mind back when we develop the practice of listening. Now, I'll be the first to say these are not magic formulas. There may be times when our silence feels only like silence. But we don't develop disciplines without working at them. If you're out of shape and you decide it's time to get back in shape, your first effort's not going to be running a marathon, is it? You begin to walk, you begin to run, you begin to work your way back into shape. In the same way, our spiritual lives take a commitment and a discipline to spend time in Scripture. Not just reading it going, okay, I saw what that's about, but praying, God, speak to me as I read today. Sitting and praying and opening our hearts and telling God whatever's on our mind, but developing the discipline of silence. Learning and practicing and developing that ability to be quiet in God's presence and sit there and just know, God knows my name, God loves me, and I can sit in His presence whether I hear His voice today or not. And sometimes as we develop that silence, we sense God speaking. It may not be an audible voice. It may not be a burning bush. Sometimes in the midst of a decision, God's answer comes by just giving us a sense of peace with the way we're supposed to make a decision. Sometimes it may just feel like a gentle nudge. Sometimes in our silence, God may bring something to our mind. It may be, oh, I just thought of so-and-so. Maybe God's calling me to check on them today. In many ways, this is hard to preach about because it's hard to give you a nice 3-step process to listen to God's voice. And yet, we are called to be still and know that God is God. We are called through Scripture to find God not always in the thunder and the noise, but in the still small voice. We learn from the example of Jesus, who went out and was quiet in God's presence and found God's strength by making space to listen. It's a hard discipline to develop. And there are good resources. If you want to talk some more, I can share some resources with you if you want to work and develop these kinds of practices. But it begins by understanding that God calls us to listen. Not just to talk to Him, but to listen, to be quiet. Not always expecting something dramatic, but believing that when we sit in God's presence, when we're walking outside in God's presence, even when we're driving and praying with our eyes open, that God might still speak to us and that God does want to reveal God's self to us. It's not easy and it's not always natural. And I was out last night walking the dog. I'd been working on this message. I'd been thinking about it. Last night was looking over it and struggling with it. And walking there in the dark with my dog, I realized I've spent all week trying to put words to this. And I realized even I, in preparing a sermon on listening to God, had spent very little time listening. I'd spent very little time quiet. And I tried to come back and say, God, forgive me for trying to do it my way. Help me listen to you. It's part of developing a relationship. It won't magically happen, but as we make a commitment to the habit of listening to God, God wants to reveal God's self to us. God wants to speak to us. God wants us to hear His voice. He wants us to know Him and develop that ability to sense His voice amidst all the noise in the world. God knows our names. He calls us. He knows us. And He wants to show Himself to us. It's a good day for cartoon illustrations. There was a Family Circus cartoon some time ago as well. Showed all the children of the family out in the yard playing, blowing horns, screaming, trucks going by, all kinds of noise. The mothers inside the kitchen working, hearing all the chatter from outside. And then it shows the mom stopping and saying, "Listen, that's PJ crying." Out of all of the noise, she recognized the cry of her child. And part of our calling is to know that God knows our voice like that. But He invites us to develop the habits, the disciplines of being quiet, so that the more we practice, the more we listen, the more we spend time in God's presence, the more we begin to be able to sense and hear God's voice. It can be discouraging at times, but we keep making space in our lives for quiet, because amidst all the noise, all the pressures, we need it. How many of you find yourself over and over again feeling pulled apart by all the stuff, all the information, everything that's pressing in on you? Spiritually, we need to learn to make space, to be quiet in God's presence, to sit and listen, to come before Him even when it feels like work, and say, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening, and I'm ready to follow Your call." Will we make space each day to listen for God's voice? Will you pray with me? Thank You, God, for showing Yourself to us, for revealing Yourself to us. Help us to learn to listen. It's easy to go through life and wonder if You're still talking. Help us develop the discipline to listen. Even on the days when You seem quiet, even on the days when it feels like nothing happens, stir up within us a discipline of listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.